Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders and friends, in this month of Ramadan, Imam Ghazali rahimahumullah has described the various stages of fasting. The first stage of fasting is the stage of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. When we speak of the fast of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, whether it was the fast of abstinence from eating and drinking and fulfilling one's passions and carnal desires, but together with that, the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam had a continuous fast. And that fast was to abstain from everything which is regarded as ghayrullah. Everything that is regarded as ma siwallah. Everything besides Allah. That in the heart of every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one common factor was this, that every Nabi's heart was fully occupied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To this extent, we famously and always hear the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, that when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was being thrown into the fire, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam comes to the assistance of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, the very simple question he asked, does Allah know my plight? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my plight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is happening, then hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is sufficient. Now this is a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed in the hearts of each and every Nabi, each and every Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that you and I also need to aspire. And it becomes very easy for us in this month of Ramadan, that whilst there is the abstinence of food and drink and passions and carnal desires, together with that is to remove our thoughts, our hearts from everything else besides Allah. When we look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, perhaps we will find in every Sahabi, every companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an excellent example in this. That every Sahabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of every Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was of such a caliber, that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them, and they were pleased with Allah. Friends, they were not pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of conditions of affluence. They were not pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of conditions of luxury and comfort. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that condition when there was extreme hunger, and in that condition when they would place stones on their bellies. Even at that time, radiallahu anhum wa radu an, Allah was pleased with Allah was pleased with Sahaba, and they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time when Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had to walk in a battle, Zatul Riqa, and when Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had no shoes, barefooted, and they come to a point of a thorny ground, at that time Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had to walk over those thorns. They began to tear from their clothing strips of cloth which they would tie around their toes and their feet. And in that manner Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum continued their journey. But in that condition also, waradu an, they were happy with the condition of Allah. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed. We look at an incident in the life of Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was amongst the Ashra Mubashara, amongst those Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given the glad tidings of Jannah in one sitting, the 10 Sahaba. Like that every Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a Jannati. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes reference to that in many ayat of the Quran. But these 10 Sahaba, in actual fact, in one majlis, in one sitting, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taken the names and he said that they are of Jannat. So Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, besides that, he had one quality and he was famous by this quality even in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he was known as Mustajabud Da'wat. That Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu would lift his hand and no sooner would he make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would accept that dua of Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nonetheless, come to the latter part of Hazrat Sa'ad's life, when old age had come to him, Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu had become blind at that time. And now he undertakes a journey to Makkah Mukarramah. And as per the habit of the pious, then when we know that some wali of Allah is going to come, and then we will all see everybody go to the airport to make istiqbal and welcome that saint or that wali. But here is no ordinary saint. Here is a sahabi, a companion of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the people of Makkah Mukarramah, they begin to flock the entrance of Makkah and wait for Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu to enter. And as Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes his appearance and entrance, the people meet Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And like our habit also, we would ask the pious to make dua, but more so in the case of Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to ask dua was almost, if we may use the term, imperative. So people began to ask him to make dua and they requested him for dua. And as each person ask for dua, perhaps somebody may have asked for a pious offspring, or somebody may have asked for a pious spouse, or whatever it may be. Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu was making dua there and then on the spot. Oh Allah, grant this person whatever the person had asked for. And as this queue of people thronged towards Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and when everybody had asked and made the request of their duas, a young qari of Makkah stands up to meet Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and after introducing himself, he said, O Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have got just one question. That all these people have requested their duas, they requested that you make dua on their behalf, and you have obligingly, willingly you have fulfilled the task, and you had asked of the du'as for those people. But what about yourself? You are blind. You are mustajabud da'wat. Why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restore and reinstate your eyesight? At that time, Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu responds, and he replies and he says, O young man, if Allah is happy with Sa'ad in this condition, then Sa'ad is also pleased with the decree of Allah. Friends, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, then that is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had showed from time to time. And then of course, more so in the lives of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. So that is the one type of roza and fast Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi speaks about, that you and I in this month of Ramadan, we need to bring into our life, that whatever is ghayrullah, whatever is regarded as being besides Allah, remove all that from our hearts and bring Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala into our heart. Perhaps that is why our Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about four imperative actions or ibadat that we should bring in the month of Ramadan besides our fasting and tilawat of the Quran. Amongst that is abundantly the recital of the kalima tayyiba, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That in La ilaha illallah, we negate and we remove the power of everything else and we bring into our heart the power, the qudrat and the might of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then he speaks about the fast of the saliheen, of the pious, the mukhlisin, the sincere. That in the fast of the sincere, that besides abstaining from sehri to iftar, from eating and drinking and fulfilling one's passions and desires, but the saliheen also abstain from all those things which are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it in a form of haram, be it in a form of makruh, but the pious have this quality that throughout their lives, they keep away from everything that is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on this occasion in the month of Ramadan, that whilst we are going through this process of abstinence, let us try and inculcate and bring another form of abstinence, and that is the abstinence of sin and guna. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala highlights the very primary reason why we fast, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that taqwa may come within our hearts. Many of us have this misconception that we show sympathy to the poor. That is a secondary issue. The very primary issue of fast is to bring about taqwa. When you look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they lived most of their lives in a state of hunger. One Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains a particular battle to his students, the Tabi'een, and he's explaining to them that when we left Madinah Tayyiba, we left with just one date, one khajur. And for a number of days, we were out in the path of Allah, and we had to sustain ourselves with that khajur. So what we invariably did was we began to suck that date, suck that khajur, until we had sucked the date, and then we sucked the seed, and until there was no taste, we removed the seed out of our mouth for a number of days. So one of the students, one of the tabi'in asked, how did you manage to survive on one khajur? And friends, we should be asking that. That one roza that we keep from sehri to iftar, it is khajur, it is savories, it is this and it is that. But Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu went through this process on virtually a daily basis. So the Sahabi replies, oh my student, it was only when that date was sucked dry, did we make qadr of that one khajur. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains that we were out in the path of Allah. Great Sahaba Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also in that battle. And we had gone out and we traveled a very arduous journey. There was scarcity of food, there was no food. There was nothing to drink, the water was exhausted. We came to a point and we came to a place when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Wallah qasam of Allah, that we had reached the state of dehydration to this extent, that we thought our necks will be cut off from our bodies, that we are going to fall to the ground, we are going to die at any moment. Siddiq Akbar, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had noticed the plight of the Sahaba. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the Nabi of Allah had stopped at one place. And Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then made the request, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thirst and hunger has reached its peak. The ashab cannot continue in this journey anymore. It seems as though they are going to leave this world, they are going to die. At that time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts his hands and he makes dua to Allah, "Oh Allah, open the skies and let the rains come down." And immediately Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Allah's Nabi had not even dropped his hand and we saw the rain fall. When the rain had fallen, then obviously we took our utensils and we filled it to its full. And again, once again, we were able to quench our thirst. When we continued with that journey, we had realized the rain had only fallen where the Nabi of Allah had made dua. So respected friends, the point is that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala went through this process of hunger. Sayyidina Abu Huraira is the narrator. He says that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala would fall in Masjidun Nabawi while they were performing salat. They would not fall because they were tired. They would fall because of extreme hunger. So this fast that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has brought upon us is the sympathy with the poor, the feeling of the hunger and the pangs of hunger is in actual fact a secondary issue to the primary issue. The primary issue is to inculcate and bring taqwa into the heart. And what is the taqwa that we hear in different occasions? Different ulama in this masjid, Hazrat speaks about taqwa practically every day. What is this taqwa? Perhaps if we cannot understand Allah consciousness, if we cannot understand piety, if we cannot understand the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then friends, understand it in the words of the Ahlullah. A simple test we can put ourselves through. That before the month of Ramadan had begun, let us look within our hearts. And let us see now at this stage, our inclination towards guna and our inclination towards sin. Has it increased? Has it decreased? Has it remained stagnant? Our inclination towards doing good and being obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, has it increased or has it decreased or is it stagnant? And then friends, this test, the real acid test of taqwa and our fast and our month of Ramadan can be conducted very easily. That if during the course of Ramadan we find that our inclination towards guna and sin has somewhat come a little less, and our inclination towards the obedience of Allah has increased, then undoubtedly we have acquired some form of taqwa. When we speak of taqwa, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "U'iddat lil muttaqeen," Allah ta'ala speaks about jannat. And who are those muttaqeen? Allah ta'ala says, "Walladheena idha fa'alu fahishatan aw zalamu anfusahum dhakarullah." It does not mean that a person will never ever be tempted to break the commandments of Allah. It does not mean that temptation will not knock at our door. But when that comes, in the time of Nabi alayhi salat wa salam, there was a date merchant. And a woman used to visit his shop or his business very frequently. And on one occasion, he stretched his hand towards her. In doing so, immediately, he remembered that I am now giving in to my desire. He closes shop and he goes straight to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He explains to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam his circumstance. Okay, oh Nabi of Allah, this is what has happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately recites the ayah of the Quran. He says, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam had come. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, that those people who have carried out a lewd and immodest, a promiscuous act, أو ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, or they had transgressed the commandments of Allah, then what happens? ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ, they remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in that state and in that condition. Friends, we need to ask, and I need to ask myself one question. Such were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such were our pious ancestors, that at that time Allah ta'ala bears testimony, Dhakarullah, they remembered Allah. We in the house of Allah, we stand in front of Allah and we perform salat. Does ever the thought of Allah come into our hearts? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, when we speak about the inclination of doing good, that sometimes a burning desire comes within me that I must speak to my Allah. That desire comes that I must speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I perform my wudu and I stand up and I perform 2 rakat salat. And there are times that a burning desire comes within my heart that I must listen to my Allah speak to me. So then I perform my wudu and I open the kitab of Allah and I make tilawat of the Quran. When I make tilawat of the Quran, I can hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. May Allah speaks to me. It is narrated of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that more often than not, when he would recite Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would cry so much and to such an extent that he could not continue his salat. Because the greatness, the azmat of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala would come into his heart. So when Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi speaks about the fast of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, that we need to remove this ghayrullah, everything besides Allah, take it out from our hearts, and this is the opportunity. And number two is, the fast of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we abstain from guna and we keep away from guna. And then perhaps that is why our Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us to carry out the second action of Ramadan. The first was abundance of the kalima tayyiba la ilaha illallah. And the second is to make tawbah, to make istighfar, to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we all know that we are in need of seeking forgiveness and asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness. But friends, just very, very quickly, let us just understand and realize that there are certain signs that our tawbah is accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Faqih Abu Layth Samarkandi rahmatullah alayhi has stated that the first sign of a person's tawbah to be accepted is when that person controls his tongue. His tongue, he will neither lie nor backbite. He will not involve himself in futile speech. He will not use his tongue to hurt or harm the next person. Then that is the first sign that that person's tawbah has been accepted. And that is in actual fact the first sign of the khashiyat and the khawf of Allah also. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas was asked, who are those people that fear Allah? He said, those people who are silenced by the greatness of Allah. Number two, then in their hearts exists no malice, no jealousy, no enmity for any other person, because they realize that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has already distributed the rosy and sustenance of the whole creation of Allah. Number three, they will ward away evil company, they will abstain from evil company, and they will join the company of the pious and the awliya and the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And number four is that they will make a preparation for maut long before the effects of maut come upon them. They will be always concerned about the state in the hereafter. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala accept all our ibadat in this month of Ramadan. May Allah ta'ala make it a means of our maghfirat and our entry into Jannatul Firdaus. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.